Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. Back with us on the program, Robert Maxim. Legacy is his book series, a story of mankind's sojourns through history, describing one man's incredible journey through several lifetimes, as far back as a million years. His blunders, his triumphs, and many worlds and places where these experiences took place. 5 episodes, a million-year-old romance, space battles, intrigue, interdimensional scientific and spiritual principles of life, today's false religious beliefs, and other secrets exposed in Legacy. Described as a must-read for every truth seeker, a novel that's actually been 30 years in the making, the Legacy series author is our guest, Robert Maxim, and it's his incredible journey. As a child, Robert experienced several sleep time visits to other worlds and witnessed countless alien craft. These experiences continue to date in both wake and sleep states. Robert has spent over 40 years studying science, religion, and the science of life, working now in the field of information technology. Back with us on the program, Robert Maxim, author of the critically acclaimed Legacy series. Robert, welcome back.
Thank you for having me on board.
It is such a pleasure to have you back for another program where we're going to try to make a dent in the questions that the listeners and the viewers send in. I'll explain as we get through the process how you can send yours in, and we're going to get through as many as we can during the course of the program today. Are you buckled up and ready?
All set.
I've looked at these. There are some good ones in here, and I'm looking forward to your answers. Let's start with this one, which is interesting, and we've talked in past programs about religion and misinterpretation. First question, good one, do you feel there is a role for preachers?
Well, being a preacher myself, my role, I'll describe my role, is basically to walk first and talk last. I like to think of God like Missouri, the show me state.
Okay, not, yes.
Not Washington, D.C., which is the tell you state.
Okay, I like that.
If lips come first, then God is definitely last, because you're putting yourself up front. Jesus said at one time, don't throw pearls before pigs, because people don't value what you say or you give them unless it costs them, unless they work for it and realize it within themselves. So they end up escaping accountability for their feelings if they are entertained. So listen and then answer. That's how we, as we say in Illinois, that's how we get her done. So Jesus' mandate is to show people how to seek answers from God through godly behavior and tact, not words from a mortal. Remember, silence is golden and tape is silver. So use a healthy amount of both. Don't target people, please. You're doing them a grave disfavor by putting yourself up front. You don't know their needs and it can't address the basic need, which is to know yourself. So people have to discover need and knowledge on their own, not you. You have no clue what they need. And again, they must value knowledge by working through it. Don't do people's homework or try to put them at ease. Don't stand before people as an ordained holy authority figure. That also applies to yours truly. No ego talking heads, no finger pointing or dumping information to see what sticks from the pulpit. No, that's rude, it's judgmental, it's a superiority complex, and it's contrary to what Jesus taught. But when and if you have to talk, remember, do it for free.
Now, that's interesting. That will eliminate a lot of people that are in the profession out there. In fact, by calling it a profession, I guess I've sort of answered that question as well. Interesting answer, a thought-provoking question, because we are taught, I believe, that we need somebody to lead us. We need to follow, and you're saying a lot of this, going back for past programs, we can piece together for ourselves. It's all there for us.
And Jesus said, good, there's only one. that says it all.
Yep, it wraps it up there. Robert Maxim, our guest on the program. We're taking listener viewer questions. If you have any, you can get a hold of us at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Very simple, the comments. Let us know the question for Robert. You can go to Robert's website, rgaetan, gaetan.com, and get the question to him, and then we will answer on the next program. Next question, I'm being taught that to be saved, to be guaranteed heaven and God's favor, I need to be born again. Do you believe that to be true from your reading of the Bible?
Well, absolutely. Now, the question is, how are you born again? What's the process? Well, simply is to leave the world behind and to live a Christ consciousness. You have to tame that dark self. You have to practice universal law. That's all that God asks. Show others how to live by your own gentle, silent nature. Not persuasion or lips, because what you're doing is you're going out there, you're hiding your own sins. You're not giving testimony. And if you remember back Daniel chapter 2 and on, you know, that's what he did. He testified his sins. He didn't go out and give lip service. So if you have a craving for using words, your heart is unclean. A clean heart is all the convincing that other people need. Humility, sincerity, generosity, and most of all, a healthy amount of respect. People resonate with actions more so than words, filled with supposedly a lot of unclean heart and desires to possess others, ego, recognition. That's all stuck with the message. So to be born again, first of all, find and get rid of all of that. The day you do, you'll be humbled. You'll mind your own store, and you're going to leave people alone. So don't be a body snatcher for somebody else. Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore, and this is the right translation of it, go therefore and demonstrate my principles to every nation. He didn't say teach. God is the sole teacher and leader, not us. So let him lead through your example. Walk like he does. Entice others to study and keep your lips shut, because they corrupt others with your own filter, your own misunderstanding of things. And I think we've seen a lot here on this radio show. Just people just think they're right and they have a lot of misunderstanding. But now, if you have to say something, only say that if you want salvation, seek for yourself the kingdom within. Make people responsible. Have them work for wisdom so it is valued and upheld. That's what I would call true living and true faith.
You know, you said something there. Well, a lot of you said there is interesting, but I go back to, and we've talked about so often, just one word misinterpreted, mistranslated makes the world of difference. Talking about demonstrating, which is one thing, teaching, which is entirely different. And just by mistranslating that one word, it totally changes what the thought is.
Yeah, just look how politics mistranslates words today.
Yes. Yes.
It says people going like that.
Well, yeah, because words apparently have no definition. The definitions are fluid, it seems like, in the political arena today. When a sort of a follow-up question on that from a different viewer, do you need to be born again to improve your status when reincarnated?
You know, really glad the listener said that. You know, this being born thing, that phrase, it totally escaped my notice, and the listener just reminded me. So thank you. Would you believe, and I'll read it in Greek, enao anoten means heavenly regeneration, or come forth again from God's heaven. Now, does that mean born again, or does it mean revival? It's mistranslated, isn't it?
Yes.
So, and genao anoten, heavenly regeneration. It doesn't mean born again. Regeneration, remember, regeneration is the word palingenesia, or reincarnation. So born again really means taming your lower self after spending time in heaven through reincarnation, and you'll come back until you succeed. So all of this controversy that, you know, some people say born again means to come out of your mom's womb. And actually, Jesus was asked that question, and he said, yeah, you definitely have to be born again. Now, the reason he didn't say yes is because the word itself is extremely clear what it means. Born again, reincarnated again. The more you shed the self, the more enlightened your life will be. That is pivotal. And again, listener, please, thank you for reminding me of that. So yes, to come back, to be born again until you succeed. And that is precisely, without question, what Jesus meant. Yet another example of Jesus teaching reincarnation in the past.
You can ask your question as well of Robert by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, comments, and just put your question in there. Say it's for Robert, and I will get it to him, and we'll have it in an upcoming program. Or go to Robert's website, rgaetan, rgaetan.com, and we will go from there and get it up on the air. New question. It's my understanding from the Bible study that God wants us to prosper so we can finance the gospel and establish his covenant. I interpret that to mean prosperity is good, and we are to help spread his word and convert. Am I misinterpreting? And we've talked about this a lot in the past. The tone of this was sort of like they're really asking some serious questions, so I wanted to pass that along to you. Is he misinterpreting or she misinterpreting?
You know, it's not the listener's fault. As we said before, how one word can cause a world of difference. But let's take this again from the top. Paul invented prosperity. And here's why. Paul was a businessman. And that thing of prosperity was solely his idea. Now, notice, today, we call it multi-level marketing.
Ah, yes.
Now, that sounds awful, but that's exactly what it is. It's awful. Jesus abhorred it because it leads to abuse, it leads to division and power. Did Paul then counter Jesus? Yup. Let's look at these few statistics, and I think this will explain why Jesus was against it. Did you know that 99% of all converts, 99%, they come from other Christian beliefs? Now, 64% of non-believers are in China, where religion is stifled. We're talking about that 1%. 64% of that 1% are in China. The other 36% are non-Christian faiths. Now, when you think about that, we're talking about prosperity here, money. What is your money doing then? What are you paying for? What covenant are we talking about? Sad to say, snatching people that are already on the way from other Christian churches to inflate yours, that is precisely what's going on. Who benefits in all that body swapping? Definitely not the covenant, but the church leadership. And I have a surprise for you. It's all about the money. And here it goes. According to Giving USA, this will come as a shock. In 2016, churches earned in the U.S. alone $400 billion.
Wow.
And that's 2% of the gross domestic product. But did you know that only 10% of that went to human services? Where did the other 90% go?
Jets.
No. Add other donating countries to that amount and easily tenfold that into the trillions of dollars. But let's not forget the following. $71 billion of government subsidy and tax breaks. So how much do they make then? Well, it's absolutely staggering. They make more than the president does. Is that cash really going to the covenant, or is it going to deep pockets? Well, ask Ken Copeland. His net worth is $750 million. You're responsible where your money goes. Don't think for a minute. Once you pay, it's no longer your problem. Far from it. You're enabling the problem. If Jesus said, no, that's it for me. One thing is to help your belief community through tithe, and that's biblical and supported by Jesus. No question, do it. But be careful. Another thing is to blindly fill greedy coffers and abandon the poor. Jesus shut down the rich on both sides of the aisle, church and public, steer people to give to the poor directly and tithe without pumping your chest. That's the covenant. Is that what we do? Did you realize that people on them, by themselves, they actually donate more to the poor than churches do? Think about that. What it comes down to is this. You yourself, not a paid agent or church, are that covenant. You are the covenant. You are the light tower for others. You are the clother, the feeder, the example, the hope. You're your brother's keeper. You're the love of your brother. Don't pay to have it done for you, feeling you've done your part. No. Reach people's hearts with gentleness, not words, gifts, money, or gimmicks. Don't fill the wrong pockets either. You're responsible for that. If you pay others to do this for you, it's your choice. Nobody's telling you to do any different. But it's not what Jesus asked us to do. The covenant, in his words, are you. Not a talking head you can't control from a pulpit or a radio station or a TV station. No, it must be you, and you have to do it for free. Behavior is all that counts, not dollars or persuasion. There's absolutely no heart in that, is there? Give of yourself. That's true heart. Prove that you love him. Take care of his sheep, not a system. Don't pay a system to take care of his sheep. You do it. That's the covenant. Lips and money are not love. You know, I can tell my wife that I love her, or I can demonstrate it. Which do you think she's going to appreciate the most?
I would think that the demonstration would be very impressive.
Hello.
And you can take that principle and apply it to other aspects of your life, which you just did. Robert Maxim, our guest on the program, that's M-A-X-X-I-M. His website's rgaetan, G-A-E-T-A-N.com, and unarianununited.com. Great information there on all aspects of what we talk about on the program, what he talks about in the Legacy series. Again, check that out at Robert's website. Check that out at Amazon. I rolled through in the beginning some of what you will find in the series. It not only is autobiographical, but it's a compelling story as well. It's got all the action you wanted. You can find it in Legacy at Amazon. A couple of sort of follow-up questions here that we've had on this translation thing that we've talked about on a number of programs. The question is, you mentioned on a recent show that we should stop using translations and study carefully. Where can we go to get the truth? Who can we trust? And I'll follow up with a separate question. When you are quoting scripture, what Bible are you using? I guess if we follow what you're using, we should be in pretty good shape. But when we're reading a translation, how do we know this is accurate or this has been tainted to follow someone else's interpretation?
Well, the first recommendation would be trust no one, not even me. Don't trust anybody. In the past, I've exposed just a few mistranslated verses brought forward by listeners. The Bible, today's Bible, not the Bible, but today's Bible, is filled with all of these mistranslations, every turn of the page. My advice to make it simple for starts, learn to use the blue letter online Bible. Use the tools button next to each verse and then click on the Strong's links for each word. Also, please read the entire chapter for content. Don't just get hung up on a single verse, because that can be dangerous. Sometimes the choice of word, a translation word that goes with a specific verse, depends on the rest of the chapter. You know, you have a choice of words. A specific word might mean this or this or this, you know, kind of like a thesaurus.
Yes.
So the Blue Line Bible will give you a thesaurus of these words. Well, you can't just pick the one you want. It has to go with the chapter. So beware of those that want to further twist things around because it sounds better. You have to be very careful with that. So let me give you an example. How about eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth? What do you think that means?
Boy, we've been taught that for years, haven't we?
Mm-hmm. Does that mean revenge?
What do you think it says? You deal it out to me, baby, I'm going to deal it back to you.
Guess what? Don't be shocked if I say absolutely not. You know what it means?
No.
It's all explained by the verses that come before it. What it means is don't mess with a pregnant woman's womb.
You're kidding.
No. What do you think it meant? Well, I rest my case. You see, this is where you have to
That's fascinating because that's totally different than I'm sure 99.9% of people would say. If you stop them on the street and ask them that question, they would say, yeah, revenge. If you do something to me, and well, I've got the green light to return the favor.
Well, let me give you another one. Remember the 30 pieces of silver?
Yep.
That Judah was given? Okay, let's cover this a little bit. You'll find a meeting of 30 shekels of silver, which was Judah's prize, in Exodus 21, verse 32 nearby. And what it basically means is that if a bull pushes a maidservant or a servant, they will pay 30 shekels to the owner and stone to death that bull. Now, that kind of explains what Judas's excuse was for condemning Jesus. Further evidence of that is also found in Zechariah 11:13 and Matthew 27:9. So, again, not only do you have to read the verses around the specific verse or the entire chapter, sometimes you have to go back to other references to be able to tell these things apart. So everybody has always wondered, how did Judah ever get Jesus condemned? Well, there you have it. It comes from Exodus 21:32 and Zechariah 11:13.
Boy, it is so easy to be manipulated, knowingly or unknowingly, with the different translations. It's just very interesting how these can be, we all can be manipulated.
Absolutely.
Another question, Robert Maxim, our guest on the program. Do you believe in angels? I've heard about the angel of death. Does one actually exist?
Well, angels are messengers. So yes, seen them, but nothing like their picture today. Actually, what I have seen are things that look like flames. Overall, if you look at the Venus video that I have on the web, you will basically see towards the end what they really look like. Now, those are examples of the angels that the Bible speaks of. And, of course, you see this huge flame you have, and you see this these extremities or what would be hands sticking out. Anybody would confuse them for wings, but they're not. Now, I run into some evil beings, but the only being devoted to kill you is your lower self. Other negative beings will come to you, but that's because They're your buddies. They're your friends. You've made those associations, and you're basically telling them, come. And don't forget about Jesus's parable about potentialities and the fact that if you clean your house and you throw out this demon, when it comes back and it finds the house nice and neat and clean, it's not only going to bring himself, but it's going to bring his buddies along because, oh, this place is nice and clean. Let's move in. Something to keep in mind. That's your true enemy, you.
When Robert says you go to the website and check out the pictures, the video he has there, his website is rgaetan, rgaetan.com. Click on directly, of course, by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. By the way, while you're there, you can go back to just hit the video tab. You'll go to YouTube, the YouTube channel. You'll see all the videos that we've done with Robert over the years. You can also listen to the programs on iTunes by going to the audio tab, and you can find all of those. We're on Podomatic and all the Google Play, all the usual places. Another question, this one is interesting. Was Jesus reincarnated or resurrected?
The truth is, as shocking as it may sound, reincarnated, yes. Resurrected? Not exactly. Healed? Yes. Now, those are big claims. So I encourage the reader to check out Essenic historical records on what really happened during the crucifixion. It's not all written in the Gospels. I can assure you that you will find it rather challenging.
Interesting. To accept. Now, where is that? Where can we find that?
Essenic records. I have in my possession, I have a scroll, a copy of it, not the original, but an Essenic scroll that actually records what really happened during the crucifixion. It can be found anywhere. I don't have the reference right now. It's too much to remember, but I'll try to put it up on my website so folks can go to it. It's very well recognized. It was found in the early 1900s by an explorer. It is legitimate. It's been documented. It's been proven. The church had it before. And because of what it says, they tried to burn it. But it survived the burning, and at least what it has to say is rather challenging.
Interesting, and again, information on all of this at Robert's website. Listener writes in, I'm gay. Is that wrong?
Ooh. Well, so who do I please?
Yes, on the tightrope now.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to – my answer without hesitation is no. People misunderstand the subject, something awful, and they're most unkind about it. You know, same-sex affinity is due to really having lived too many lives in the opposite sex and carried that desire into the next life, in this case, the present life. That's really all it is. Sad thing is that these individuals are treated with great disrespect, and that's just wrong. You know, we're brothers and sisters born into different sexes to experience both sides of biology, not for pleasure, but for balance. We must learn to respect anyone that is in the process of adapting. Sex is a talent, like art. It's a thing of beauty and respect. It's the body is a uniform. It's a gift from God to be respected. It's not to be used for desire, for pride, for riches, or for ego. And I know all about Romans chapter 1:26, in case the listeners feel a bit uneasy with what I just said. But overall, Romans, I've proven before that it violates Jesus' mandates big time. This was Paul going out on his own and putting a lot of his own Jewish beliefs in there. So let's prove that. Let's consider the case of Mary Magdalene. How did Jesus treat her? Did he join the stoners? So love everyone likewise, regardless of sexual orientation. None of us are perfect people. None of us are. What entitles us to cast that first stone? But that's what Jesus tried to teach us. So please, love and don't hurt. Don't segregate. Don't name call people or judge others for their choices. Didn't Jesus say not to call others raka, which means stupid? So please leave people alone. Focus on your own problems. People are evolving, they're adapting, they're making changes, they're going through experiences that are necessary for their evolution. Don't interrupt that. And respect these people. They need your respect.
Robert Maxim, with us on This Week in America, we are taking listener questions. This one came in from a program we did a while back where you were talking about your son's dreams and visions. The listener says, you talked about encouraging your son's dreams and visions. How do you suggest we do that, especially since many are probably nothing more than childhood dreams? Can you tell the difference by listening to their stories?
How you train kids is how they will respond. I treated my kids like adults all along and never made them feel incompetent and much less dependent on me. So that curtails their ability to make up stories. That's very important.
Okay.
So if you try to treat a child as incompetent or inferior, that's your ego. Now, my first son, when he was 10 months old, he saw a picture of planets on a book in space. He immediately made ooh sounds, like engine sounds. And then he pointed to the sky. Now, the other kids were also technically inclined. I fostered everything they could possibly be at their age, and tried to keep the world's restrictions away from them so they could analyze things clearly and not make up stories. I never said to them, it's a dream. Instead, I asked them to analyze, and I helped objectify their dreams and visions and help them interpret on their own, knowing that it came from somewhere in the deep recesses of their memories. Again, respect and don't judge, even kids.
So because a child is a child, we have a tendency probably to discount what they're saying. And you're saying, no, listen, and it can be enlightening for you and for the child. That was a great question. Yeah. I appreciate the listener calling in with that. We got a number of great questions, and we would like to get to yours, so get a hold of us at thisweekinamerica.us or rgaten.com. Next question, if a soul never dies, is there a heaven and hell? Can there be heaven and hell on earth in future lives as a heaven and hell on earth in future lives as a reward or punishment?
Well, absolutely. Right now, earth is hell for sure, but someday it will not be. You're here because you like it here and because you make this place what it is. This is what you know and are accustomed to. So you invite your own mundanity by your own past experiences. When you learn and choose somewhere else to do, to be, and to express, you will go there. But best yet, you can help make a future heaven on this planet by the way that you begin to objectify and behave today. So if you're a part of this mess, which we all are, else we wouldn't be here, take the time to humble down, humble pie, and try to make a better world for you inside. Heaven and hell attract you by your interests, and hell you make of your own twisted false desires.
Robert Maxim is our guest on This Week in America. We're talking about the Legacy series, talking about so many things related to Robert's experiences. Information at his website are Gaten, GAETAN.com. Also, UnarianSUnited.com. Along the same thing that we just discussed on that past question, what determines our afterlife destination? Do you believe it is heaven or hell or a new life here on Earth?
Well, I'll refer to my previous answer, but your earth destination is set by self-corrective actions that are pending your recognition, things that you haven't taken care of. You're going to come back as many times as necessary until you clean up your selfish act and are compatible with higher societies. Imagine this. Imagine that you have never taken science ever in your life, and you're invited to Harvard to give a speech on quantum gravity in front of the brightest scientific minds in the world. How would you feel? That's the equivalent of us right now going to a more advanced world. How are we ever going to associate with them? We're going to be a speed bump to them. We're going to be kind of like a rotten apple in the basket. So we do have a future, people. But before you get to your future, you have work to do. And that work starts with your understanding of life and what you have in here. It's very important. Number one.
Next question for Robert. What other lives are you living now, and are you aware of them in this life?
You know, I'm not consciously aware other than other levels of consciousness within my own soul that include my higher self. If we want to throw in my bio or my, what I call my one, I do feel that consciousness all the time. It is a part of me, separate from me, and I do experience that. But any other part of myself in the physical, I'm not aware of at this time.
Interesting, because we've talked about that before, and someone obviously had a question to try to determine for themselves what they're dealing with. New question, how long does it take to fully understand our past lives? From your radio comments, it seems like a long process.
Yep.
Yep.
The answer would be, how much time do you need? It's all up to you. It's all up to each of us, really. The more stubborn we are to change, the more we hide our feelings and insist that we were always nice people and the victims of others in past lives, and reject sincerity, you know, the longer it's going to take and the more cycles we're going to have to repeat. First of all, want nothing from no one. Don't be ashamed of being what you have been or what you feel in front of others. Be honest about your feelings. That's what I call a shortcut. The more sincere you are to really recognize and not escape what you feel, the faster that you're going to make progress.
So it basically is in our hands. If we're waiting for some divine influence, we're kidding ourselves. It's in our hands.
It's in our hands. And just like I said, you're going to be in front of all these bright minds. How are you going to deal with it? And I was talking to my wife the other day about transformation. It's like, wait a minute. Why wait until the last minute to transform you when you could be transformed now and help transform others? And besides, how can God interfere in your life and transform your mind? That's not what the prophecy says. Again, it's another mistranslation and another invention of Paul. When you read it, the transformation is not made by God. It's made by you. So it goes back to the same thing. You have to transform yourself, and you cannot live somewhere that you do not like or do not understand. And it cannot be done for you, because that's against the infinite law. That is the gravest mistake that has ever been pulled out of the Bible. It is just absolutely awful, and people ought to drop it and study it very carefully.
Robert Gaten, our guest on the program. Robert Maxim, our guest on the program. The website is rgaten, GAETAN.com. About 5 minutes left in the program. I have no idea where the time goes. We'll get a couple more questions in here, and we will encourage you to submit questions for our next outing. Is there a, we've talked about angels. Is there a devil or Satan figure, an evil force, trying to drive us to do wrong?
Well, there are. That is, are. And it starts with me, you. We made our own Satan, so it's inside. It's not outside. Just as your neighbor can negatively affect your state of mind, so do you that of others. Is that not a devil? You know, look at what a devil really is. Look at what Satan really is. It's an influencer. It's a deceiver. So isn't that what we are? So why are we looking for evil outside of ourselves? That is our core problem, folks. Remember I talked about sincerity and not being ashamed of really feeling yourself out and finding out what you've got? The infinite is filled with varying levels of intelligence. Some are lower, some are higher, expressing what they understand. And so is your neighborhood. So is your neighbor. There is no one evil mastermind, people, except us. Because whatever evil we conceive is what we've got, is what we are. No force, negative or positive, can influence us unless we let them. And like I said in the last time, we blame some external Satan for everything. You know, the bus drivers didn't stop the bus. Oh, it must be Satan. Hurricane destroyed New Orleans. That's Satan. Come on. We worship the thing. Look for Satan inside because it's really you. Matthew 7:23 says, all evil things come from within and defile the man. Let me repeat that. Matthew 7:23. All evil things come from within and defile the man. Case closed.
Boy, it seems pretty final, doesn't it? And it, yeah. So often, as the case with your answers, it comes back to us, the power that we have to do right or to do wrong. Time for maybe one more question. Caught you on the radio broadcast, you mentioned no one comes back as Hitler or Attila the Hun. Do you think they had past lives, and do you believe they actually reincarnated?
Oh, they come back, all right. It's just that no one ever wants to admit.
Nobody's going to step forward and raise their hand.
No. I was Florence Nightingale. You know, I was... Isaac Newton, you know, everybody wants to be someone of fame and distinction, not a butcher or criminal. Not pointing fingers, folks, but some of us have been Hitler figures in the past. And remember I talked about sincerity and really finding out what's in you? I can sense a reaction out there already to
yes.
What I'm about to say, but people are going to deny the thought of being butchers. On the spot. No, I couldn't have been such an evil person in the past. No way. I can't even harm a fly, but just buzzing around, I'll grab a newspaper and whap. I'm a good person, really. Well, wait until conditions push the right buttons, take you over the edge to anger and defensiveness, and then let's sit back and watch how you react. Guaranteed. Jesus once said, good, there's only one. And I said that before. That was referring to Father. There is a reason why we're down here and not among the stars. When we're told a reason, we refuse or won't deal with it. But how many of us live pipe dreams thinking that we're saved, victims, in the right, normal, and everyone else are devils with just a tidbit of annoyance? Supposed angelic people go off like a bottle rocket. No other creature on this planet is as defensive as humankind. You want any more proof of that?
Yes. I'm just soaking in what you're saying there, because it is so powerful, and I hope that that answers the listener's question. And again, we will be happy to take your questions, and you can get a hold of us by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, or Robert's website, rgaetan, rgaetan.com. And you can submit your questions, and we'll tackle them on an upcoming program. Also, the website that you can go to is unariansunited.com for some great information there as well. And do check out the Legacy series available at Amazon. You'll find out information at Robert's website as well. Robert, boy, that was heavy duty today. We got through a lot of really good questions, yeah. And I thank the listeners for some really inspired questions and inspired answers on your part. So thank you so much for being with us once again on the program.
My pleasure. Let's do it again.
We will definitely do it again, and we want your questions. You can do that by getting a hold of us at thisweekinamerica.us or robert@rgaetan.com. You're listening to This Week in America. Once again, our website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.